This hour is brought to you by NJ Diet. NJ Diet contractually guarantees that you'll lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Go to NJDiet.com or call 855-5-NJ-DIET.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Barstool Big Cat, host of Pardon My Take, and voluminous tweeter at Barstool Big Cat. It's time for his weekly conversation with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
That's right. Barstool Big Cat every Tuesday, 4 o'clock, brought to you by our guys at the Curcio Law Offices. Shout out to RJ, even though he took a shot at me last week. He's the lawyer on retainer for the Waddle and Sylvie Show and for Barstool Big Cat. What are you laughing at over there? What are you giggling at?
It's another food story that somebody tweeted us about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You can't tamper with food.
You're not going to like it.
Yeah. Barstool Big Cat, word is, he's out playing a little disc golf. And he's on the golf course right now with frisbee in hand. You okay out there?
You okay? I'm okay out here.
Oh, good.
Listen, I was banging some chains with the boys today.
Banging some chains.
Great game. Yeah.
Love it.
That's what you got to do. I don't know if you guys ever played disc golf.
I've not.
But pure athleticism involved. And, it is funny when I text you guys and I was worried about the audio. I think I sound good. I'm sitting in a parking lot. But it is funny just to text as, like, a grown man being like, hey, guys, my audio might be bad because I'm playing disc golf today. I've been playing disc golf for like 5 hours today.
Let's put Big Cat back on hold and see if we can establish.
Are you serious?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh my God.
That's a play out of your book right there. Come on.
Well, listen, I'm not going to spoil it because the video's coming out. But I'm coming down like the 16th fairway. And in the back of my head, I'm like, Sylvie's going to kill me if this audio is bad. And I'm trying to make big shots. Pressure shot in a Grand Slam championship, and all I can think about is you.
Yeah, that's
so
a,
did, he,
I'm
ruin,
in your
did
hat.
He ruin your game?
Rent free.
How did you do?
I can't spoil it, but I was thinking that's how much he's got me wrapped up in this bad audio.
The bad phone. Nothing worse than a bad phone.
How do you keep the please describe this for me. Like, I understand frisbee golf, but it looked like it'd be really hard to seriously to throw a frisbee a long way accurately. Like, I do believe that there's a lot of skill attached.
As opposed to hitting a little white ball with a little club.
I know. I mean, it's hard. I'm just saying, like, I think everyone thinks that frisbee golf is probably easy, but it's probably not.
No, what I quickly found out, and we played like four times in the last few weeks. I've quickly found out that all golf just stinks because, like, no matter what, I'm playing frisbee golf. And I'm thinking, oh, this will be easier. And then every second shot, I'm standing in the woods. So it's no different. It's just as frustrating. It probably doesn't look as cool when you hit a good shot with frisbee golf. But on the flip side, it's like $4 to play. So
cool.
I guess that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We did this. Like, I gotta say, we were ahead of our time growing up in Skokie. In the 70s and 80s.
You played a lot of frisbee golf?
Well, we would always play, like, there would be a stage where all we would do is play basketball on the outdoor basketball courts. Then we would play hockey in the tennis courts, like, use that as, like, a floor hockey rink. And then we would play fast pitch or lob league. We would play kick the can. And we would play frisbee golf, where we would say in a playground, hey, the tennis court, the pole on the tennis court is hole number one. Hole number two over there is the basketball court.
Look at you, rich kids.
We were,
I love it.
Not we played, rich kids. We were the we, opposite
yeah,
of that.
We played kick the can if we could find a can.
Oh,
wait,
see,
so were you banging chains, though? Because that's the best part.
That's what I mean. There were no chains to bang. Like, you could go, hey, the swing over there at the park is hole number three, and you had to hit the pole of
those
that.
Those were the chains.
That's
were
what
banging.
I mean. We weren't rich kids. We didn't
the
have
swings.
Any sort of a self-made disc golf course. We made our own disc golf course.
Yeah, so we got to get out together. We got to bang some chains.
I would love to.
That's how friendship becomes real friendship. When you can get out there and you can be like, hey, bang this chain right now. And then your buddy's like, yeah, I got this. It just feels something special.
What's a good score in frisbee golf for 18 holes?
I'm the wrong guy to ask. I don't know.
What's a bad score?
A million, about what I shot. They do the par and everything. And it's just, it's you get out there and you're like, oh, this is no different. It just feels just as deflating as real golf.
How long is each hole?
It was like 400 yards or something. 400 yards, I think, most holes. Like 300, 400. So it's long. Yeah, I was walking for like 4 hours. I'm tired. I had an ice cream cone at the end, which is nice.
That's good.
Yeah. The guy came up. He showed up. He just like spun around right when we got off the course. And I got all the guys' ice cream cone.
Oh, look at you.
You bought ice cream.
Yeah, what a great guy. Yeah. All right, let's play a game we like to call, Meller is the creator of it, so I think we can claim it. But it's a game that is usually played by Carmen and the good kid, Johnny Yurkovich. It's called Who's the Douche, okay?
Ooh.
I'm sure you're aware of this story about Lou Holtz not being happy that Brian Kelly didn't respond to the 7 or 8 letters that he wrote him in his time at Notre Dame, right? You heard the story?
I did. I actually did not hear the story, so tell me real quick. I like it.
Hold on a second.
As fresh as it can be.
Yes,
yeah, I'm going to give you the freshest take possible.
Okay, so and I got to pull up the story where Lou Holtz basically was being interviewed by someone. He told the story that he wrote Brian Kelly over the course of Brian Kelly's time, like 7 or 8 letters of inspiration or something, and he kept waiting and going to his mailbox every day for a response from Brian Kelly. And in his entire time in South Bend, Brian Kelly never wrote him back. We've had this conversation here. My perspective was, come on, Brian, answer it. Sylvie and Tyler and Jeff are all like, hey, old man, get an email account or call him or something.
Text him.
You tell me who's the douche here.
Well, here's the thing. This is very funny because, like, Lou Holtz is basically saying he didn't write me back, so Brian Kelly's a douche. Not anything that Brian Kelly's actually done in his life, which also makes him a douche. Like, we're doing this. You know what I mean?
Wait a second. Yeah. Lou Holtz wasn't claiming, wasn't asking to play the Who's the Douche game. I'm asking. I'm the one that is interjecting the, hey, who's the douche here? He did not use the word douche to describe Brian Kelly and his actions.
I'm going to say Brian Kelly's a douche here, but for other reasons. This is like, I just like whenever people draw lines in the sand that make no sense. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the actress Sydney Sweeney, like Twitter was trying to cancel her because she took a picture with her parents at her mom's 60th birthday party. And I think she might have like a Make 60 Great Again hat again, on. And I was like, could you imagine being the guy who's like, I love this actress. She's so attractive. She's my dream girl. Oh, wait. Her parents don't agree with me? Nope, out. I'm done. I can't watch her shows anymore. So that's kind of like, Brian Kelly, I think he was out on, I was out on Brian Kelly to begin with.
Right.
The letters have no bearing on my judgment here of douche.
So put that aside.
How many letters do you answer that are sent to you?
Focus on this particular issue and tell me who's the douche here. Is Lou Holtz the douche for sending a letter and expecting a return response? Or is Brian Kelly the douche for not responding to Lou Holtz?
Ooh, okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, if Brian Kelly also maybe talked to Lou Holtz on the phone, like, that suffices. So, yeah, it might be on Lou Holtz. And Sylvie, to answer your question, there's been many letters I haven't responded to. Many. I cleaned out my pile at my office. It's a huge pile. I cleaned it out maybe, like, 2 years. I have to clean it out every year. But 2 years ago, so this is, like, 2020, I cleaned it out, and I had a really nice note from one of the student managers at Illinois and 2 tickets to Illinois playing in the holiday tournament at Barclays, and the tickets were for 2017. So that was – I was the douche.
See? Who goes through that sort of – like, Brian Kelly isn't going to the athletic department's mailbox and fetching his own mail and looking at the return address. Oh, Holtz's emailing me.
Somebody inside the athletic department is responsible for
that's
mail.
What I mean. And then they pile it up on his coffee table in his office.
And I would think the ones that have Lou Holtz's name on the outside go to the top of the pile. Just respond to the elderly guy. He just wants to be your friend, for Christ's sake.
Listen, also, if you're a head coach of a major college football program, Notre Dame, like, you should have people whose job it is just to make you look good. And someone who's literally sitting there going through your mail and being like, all right, I'm just going to respond to this as Brian Kelly.
That's true. Like,
That's what you need to do.
Listen, every NFL team has somebody that forges signatures.
See, that's even worse. Like, when I found out.
No, that's better.
Like, there was There was one day when, like, Urlacher and I were going back and forth on Twitter, and I found out that it was really just his wife going back and forth with me. It wasn't even Brian.
Yeah, that's happened to the Barstool office. It's very funny because we actually used to work with a guy who I think now works with Tom Brady. And so when Brady will, like, tweet at someone in the office, I'll just go up to him because they'll be all excited. And I'll just be like, you're just talking to the guy we know, Kevin. Like,
that's so great.
You're not talking to Tom.
That is awesome.
I mean, listen, I'll let it go here. I'm just saying, this wasn't Lou Smith who was reaching out to Brian Kelly.
Why is Lou Smith less than Lou Holtz?
Well, Lou Holtz and Brian Kelly have a bond. They both coached at the University of Notre Dame.
Get in line.
Yeah.
You get in line.
That's a bond. That's a bond right there.
Man.
Charlie Weiss in that brotherhood.
Just answer it. Just answer the letter.
All right. How much fun did you have last weekend? How excited are you for this weekend with college football?
Oh, the best. I mean, Scott Frost is a dummy. What a dummy that guy is. Oh, my God. He is. It's actually great because, you know, we've had to go through this a lot as Bears fans and all of our teams. But being able to laugh at the dummy that doesn't affect you is so much fun. Like, the fact that he did the onside kick up 11, I compared it to Scott Frost is essentially like the main character in a Judd Apatow rom-com, where he, like, meets the woman of his dreams, and he's like, you know what? Things are going too well. Let me see if I can mess this up. Like, we're up 11. Let me see if I can screw this up so that I can sabotage myself and have to face the press where an Irish reporter asked him, are you going to step down from your job, which was so great. So it was great seeing college football back. I'm so excited for this weekend. I love college football. I sometimes love college football more than the NFL. I know that's sacrilegious. But there is something about the chaos of the sport and, like, just like, there'll be plays where, like, there won't be a safety on the field. Or, you know, like, just stupid stuff happens, and it's just fun.
What about the free beer, too, at that game? Are you in line for 25 minutes for a free beer, or are you missing too much of the game?
Well, if you're a Nebraska fan, you need the free beer. I just also saw that story, and I was like, What would Tom Ricketts do? He would just shut down all the beer and be like, no one's getting any beer.
I'm not giving away free beer.
Yeah, if you even thought about having a beer, he's going to send an invoice to your house for $30, being like, well, you owe us money for that beer that you thought about getting, but you didn't get. So, but yeah, the free beer. Ireland's the country that's ready for it, right?
Yes.
Like, they got to be the only country that's like, oh, we're going to give away free beer. We can deal with, like, a stadium full of very drunk people.
It's such a good point. Like, if that happened opening game against the Niners at Soldier,
you're not winning in line 25 minutes.
Well, I don't know. Like,
beer.
I think Big Cat's right. I think they're shutting it down.
Yeah,
I don't think they're giving free product away. They're like, refrigerate the kegs. We'll use them in a few weeks, even if it goes skunky.
No chance are they giving away free beer. So I like the move of giving away free beer, but I know it would never happen at one of our stadiums.
Have you started to work already on some of your top week one plays in the NFL? Have you gone into the lab yet?
Yeah, I have. I've started to look at the lab. I'm going to go. I've told myself this, and I'm going to follow through. I'm going to start just betting the Cardinals blindly in September and October.
To win
September and October, and then flipping it when when the new Call of Duty comes out and Kyler Murray stops paying attention. So that's. I think it comes out like something like first week of November. So that will be the moment you got to flip it. And then I am going to just like that Thursday night game, the Rams Bills, it opens up the season. If you don't bet the over there, you're just a scum of a person. Like, that's just, you have to bet the over in that game.
Are you going to bet the over, Waddle?
In that game? Yeah. Sure, why not? I don't want to be scum of the earth. So I want to be on the right side of this. So I'm going to bet the over with Big Cat.
By the way, I got a question. A little birdie told me that Sylvie put a little bet on the Bears over 6.5.
I drank the
Kool-Aid. He put a bet on the Bears over 10.5.
No.
So you was it because I got in your head with the frisky comments? Because I'm They are going to be frisky.
It was a frisky week, Big Cat. It started with your comments. I love the way you described them being frisky. And then I was getting plus money. I think I bet on them at plus 150 at over 6.5. So why not? And
you got to make them for those White Sox losses.
Justin Fields saying they turned the corner.
And his offensive coordinator saying no. So then did you play the under?
I did not know. No.
Okay.
He also said the game is going too slow for him last year.
So we've
got to be careful
as well.
Yeah.
The other bet I was looking at, I think I'm going to take the Niners to win the Super Bowl. I think they're like 16 or 17 to 1. And the Jimmy G stuff is kind of weird because
Who will be under center for that Super Bowl win?
It's a very tough thing they're trying to do because you kind of need Jimmy G in case Trey Lance isn't good, but you can't tell me that bringing him back doesn't affect Trey Lance's psyche and like the fact that he's been told it's his team and now he's got a guy who went to a Super Bowl, went to an NFC Championship game,
two of them,
staring at him every single day, you know, every time he comes off the field. But with that said, like, don't you feel a little more safe with the Niners knowing that they
have the
contingency plan?
If you're gambling on the Niners, this was manna from heaven.
Right.
You know,
at
the very least.
Right.
There's a lot of odd twists and turns with this. Like, Jimmy G was practicing, wasn't even practicing with the team.
He was on the side field.
Yeah, he was in a side field.
He was in meetings.
I know. That's my point.
Yeah, I know. So it's. The whole thing is weird, but the Niners, the two teams that I'm looking to make a future on, the Niners and the Eagles. I think the Eagles, that it's probably stupid of me because essentially my thought process is I'm betting on really good rosters with quarterbacks that aren't great, but if they are great, then I'll have a great value. But I know deep down that like Jalen Hurts and Trey Lance are not going to be great.
Jimmy G
is not going to be great.
What are you getting in terms of value on the Eagles? Because they're kind of a sexy pick. I would think that a lot of people are playing it and bringing the number
down. And the Raiders.
I think I had them 25-1. So I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things that like I'm not even going to touch the AFC because the AFC is like who can tell you like. Definitively, the AFC is so loaded with so many good quarterbacks.
That's a forest fire over there. Yeah,
right,
it is.
Right. So it's like, all right, let me try to do something in the NFC and go against, you know, the Packers, the Bucks, and the Rams. Which now that I've said that out loud, of course it's going to be the three of them. But I it's fun to put a little future on.
Are you riding with the Bucks, or you think it's over based on some of the stuff that has happened?
So we actually had Bruce Arians in studio this morning. And he's got the best job in the world now. He's just like, he just hangs out and gets to go to practice. And he's like, I've already lost my last game, so I don't have to worry about that. But I think they're still so good. Like, their roster's still so good. And Tom Brady, like, would you be surprised if he plays like four more years? I don't know. At this point, what does anyone do that's doubting him?
He
I don't know what you go through.
Waddle's starting to doubt him finally.
He looks like if he plays another 4 years, he will have been divorced for at least 3+ of those years.
Well, he looks young. I don't know if you saw, but he's found, I don't know what he did with those 11 days off, but his face is looking like, you know, 20 years younger.
Yeah. Oh, you think so? I thought it was the worst he's ever looked.
Oh, no, he looks young.
No,
it's almost like he looked bad. Done.
I thought it was more like because he got skinny because he's stressed.
No, he looks like sculpted. He just is fresh off some tune-ups on his face. So he's got, you know,
looks
like
even more majestic.
Yeah, he's getting to that point where it's like, yeah, there might be a point where there is too much plastic surgery. Like, you kind of going to the point of no return here. But, he's still going to be good.
Bruce Arians looks like he's cut some weight, too. I don't know if he had any work,
pounds.
But he looks, yeah, he looks good.
Did he show up?
I did
up,
ask him. Go ahead.
Did he show up with a big belt around his chest?
It had vodka and a pack of cigarettes in it. Right?
He didn't, but I asked him, I was like, you know, you've had an incredible career. There's got to be moments of luck like that go into it because I just love talking to guys who are super successful and trying to figure out like what's the lucky break that you had that you can look back and be like, wow, if that didn't happen, maybe none of this happens. And I was like, and why was it that the Bears hired Mark Trestman over you?
Yes.
And he laughed. He was like, yeah, that was good. I didn't want that job. So
he did at the time, though.
Yeah,
he did. No. But I think he knows now like that would have been a big, big mistake.
Huge. Like, I mean, I don't know if I'm sure you know the story. They made him do, he was the reigning coach of the year, and they made him do the mock press conference.
Yeah. And he was like, I'm not doing
wrong.
This.
Yeah.
We do everything.
We do everything.
Everything wrong.
Everything.
We had Bruce Arians, who could have been teamed up with Jay Cutler at the perfect time.
Oh, yeah. They would have killed each other, but it would have been fun.
they
would have gone deep so much, though. Yeah. They would have been going deep nonstop.
No risk and no biscuit.
Yeah. Damn.
Such a good phrase. No risk and no biscuit.
Because it's one of those phrases when you throw a pick and you get off the field, you're like, well, no risk and no biscuit.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it just covers it up. Like, what are you going to do? This is how we play ball.
He does look like he's bringing cocktail mixers with him, doesn't he? Like, could you see him
wherever he goes?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's party time. Hey, I'm Bruce Arians, and it's time to have one.
Yeah, no, the first time we interviewed him, we were in his house, and he had just played golf, and he was drinking a cocktail, and it was like, there was a moment where it was like, is this, like, legal? Are we taping someone who's drunk? Like, what's going on?
I tell you, him and Foxy are two guys
they would
love to have a good time.
Meet somewhere in between in Florida, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Big Cat, great stuff. Can't wait to watch you play some disc golf.
Yeah.
And then we got to get in around soon here.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm just happy my audio didn't sink because I didn't want to be in the doghouse.
This was perfect. No, this clear as a bell today.
I want to see you two douches play frisbee golf.
Oh, we're going to
beat
game.
You.
I bet you could too.
Yeah, I bet it could beat you in frisbee golf.
Yeah, I bet you could.
Listen, Sylvie, that's not the boast you think it is.
No, I know it's not. Waddle's shoulder. You should see Waddle in the fast pitch machine where you throw the
ball. I can't throw
43
anything.
Miles an hour, Big
Cat. Oh, man.
His shoulder's gone.
I would take that thing to the moon. Oh, my God.
All right, let's have a little contest when you come out next.
Great.
When you're closing on that $500 million property that you're about to buy.
I'll bring you out. Yeah, you guys. Yeah, I'll have you guys come out. You got to make sure that you check in with the security. And then I'll take you to the moon. Yeah,
you probably have the speed gun in your house. I mean, of course you do. We can do all this at your place.
Oh, full diamond. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No. I'm going to have it all. So, yeah, I will take you 500 dead center.
Not a chance.
Oh, okay. This should be.
Yeah, no chance.
Big Cat, great stuff, man.
See you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Barstool Big Cat, as always, brought to you by the Curcio Law Offices. Call my guy RJ today. Our guy RJ. Shout out to him, 312-332-3776. Hey.
Hey.
The White Sox could be getting this player back.
Whee.
Is it time to throw a party? And this is becoming an epidemic in baseball stadiums across America.
Sex.
We have another instance of this. Yes, it's being publicized everywhere. We'll talk about all of it next. By the way, I'm looking at... I'm reading the Lions releases.
I think you're more interested in the Lions than the Bears this year.
I'm not.
Based on Hard Knocks.
It's just on Hard Knocks and the way they carve out the stories on who the kids are on the bubble. There's this one offensive lineman named Easy who's only been playing football for like 7 years of his life.
Is he from Nigeria?
Yeah, and he played, I want to say, only a year or two of high school football. And then he went to Memphis, and then he went to another school in the transfer portal, and he was playing with the Lions. He was released. Pimpleton, who is, I think, from the MAC, they've made him into a wide receiver.
He has butterfingers.
He's been released, too.
Yeah.
It looks like Rodrigo made the team, but like you said, it looks like they've loved him from the start, and he was a fifth or sixth round pick.
By the way, the Lions, I mean... Not perform very well in the preseason, did they?
They didn't. They
not even talking about winning or losing.
I think they went 0-3, didn't they?
Yeah, there were a lot of unimpressive moments for them, I think.
Right, when they choked the games away. Yeah. I think Blau made the team. They got rid of Boyle.
Pat Boyle.
No, Tim Boyle. Tim Boyle?
Yeah.
Didn't we have a game where the Bears were Mitch... got
David
to,
Blau.
David Blau.
Yeah,
and
squared off with David Blau.
Yeah. So... I was just looking at that right now. By the way, Sox fans, season saved. Yasmani Grandal could return as early as tomorrow. Tony La Russa just said over on the South Side.
That'll fix things, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Does that really make them better? him by him being in the light. Well, not based
on his performance this year. It's been a miserable season for Yasmani, hasn't it?
Yeah, and Robert's been, he's out again. He's out of the lineup again. How long has Robert ended up, how many games has he missed with his wrist injury where they, I don't think he has spent any time on the injured list with it. They've elected to keep him active through the two different wrist injuries. He can't, remember, he missed like 5 or 6 games the first time, came back, and then he had those bad swings at the end of a game, and then he was on the shelf again, and he's still on the shelf now, and I don't think he's ever been, like, he's never gotten a chance to really get it healed.
He's played 89 games this year. He has played in 89 games. The White Sox themselves this year.
128? Yeah. I don't think he's, what was the most he's had coming into the year? He had, I don't think he's had a.
Last year he played 68 games.
Was that his high watermark? Has he had a 100?
2020 was the first year, was 56 games.
And that was 60, right? That was the
short season.
Yeah, so he played 56 of 60.
Right.
So he's missed 9 games, but there's also 2 that he has played in where he's pinch ran. Right. So he's kind of missed 11 games.
That's what I'm saying, and I don't know. Out of all the issues that they're dealing with, going back in hindsight and saying, should they have put him on the injured list and just tried to get him as close to right as possible? Each game has been so important. There are many more things I could fry this team for than that. But it's just nothing has worked.
Nothing.
Nothing. Whatever they choose to do, the opposite is the real answer. Like, and I heard Carmen again. They're still talking about Aloy with tired legs, sore legs. Like,
when you look back in the previous, on the previous sports landscape, previous years, like, can you think of a team that had higher expectations that has been as disappointing as this White Sox?
No, it's
team?
Why, but maybe for tomorrow. I'll get to the list tonight. What should I do? Like, in the last 25 years?
The most disappointing teams?
The most disappointing teams in Chicago sports? How far back should I go, boys?
As far as you want.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
go back to, like, 2000, maybe.
Go back to the 1900s. Spend a lot of time on it. Yeah. You know what? Put yourself to some good use. Dig deep. Put some time into this. Put a little elbow grease into it. A little brain power.
Like, if we go back to 97, that gives us 25 years. Was 97 the year of the white flag trade, too? Or the, I would assume they would make it, the 97 White Sox?
What were the expectations when that season began?
They were supposed to be in it against, I think it was 97. Am I right, Mel?
Yeah,
you're right. A Sox fan.
97, yep.
That was the year they were down 3.5 games to Cleveland at the trade deadline. And they actually acquired some decent. I think they got Folk and maybe Howry in a deal.
Yeah, but they traded away. Was it Danny Darwin, Roberto Hernandez, and
Roberto Hernandez was their closer.
It
was kind of like a Josh Hader type move.
And Danny Darwin had, you know, he was a veteran who had pitched really well for them that season. So he
wasn't
like their
Danny
third
Darwin
best
like one of the classic old guys?
Old guys,
yeah, like your typical
body of a janitor.
Yeah.
Like, but he was still pitching.
Yeah, like a Kent Tucholvy back in the day.
Not the sidearm, but old guy.
Yeah, yeah. That you could still, wrote, you know, give the ball to.
I think the White Sox got a Mike Caruso.
You always wrote letters. There was no email back then, buddy.
Yeah, no, listen, Sylvie, you're right. Like, the trade did work out on a whole. And I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was, they were still 3.5 games back. And
I'm telling you, the root of all these issues with, like, people who, whether you're tired of it or not, about the attendance, is the root of it started when the Sox had one of their best teams ever and Jerry was front and center on the strike.
Yes, 1994.
So it's 94. It could have been Sox and Montreal Expos. The Sox were in first place. It was such a good team. Jerry's like so anti-player at that time. Him and Selig shut the year down. They missed the World Series. Sox fans feel scorned in 94. They missed the World Series that year because of the strike. The best team. 97 then, you're just getting over this stuff. And you're within 3.5 games of Cleveland. And then you white flag the deal. So, like, you had the... That's where the root of all this is the fans have been scorned. So, I... And then, and the years of just not being good and being mediocre. You have 05 and 06, so... And this is just another one of those years where, man, Sox fans just came in with so much optimism and so much hope that this is the center of their go-for-it window, and to have such a bad year like this.
On another note, who's your favorite expo of all time?
Pedro Martinez.
That's good.
Andre Dawson, Tim Raines.
Vladdy.
Vladdy's good.
Ooh, Vladdy's a good one.
See, like, I go back to the a little more old school.
Yeah, you're a Dennis Martinez, Gary Carter kind of guy.
You know, Larry, did you mention Larry Walker?
No, we did not.
Larry Walker,
sure.
Pedro.
Rondell
Larry Walker
White.
Part of the 3,000 hit club?
Rondell White. I remember when the Cubs got Rondell White.
Larry Walker doesn't have 3,000?
No, I don't think so. I could be right. I don't think so, though. I don't think he got 3,000. The line of the Shields, Marquise Grissom.
Remember, Gary Carter was an Expo before he went to the Mets.
Absolutely.
They had some great teams.
Wow, not even close, Mallor. 2,160 hits. Is Larry Walker in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, yeah. He got in recently.
250. Oh, no, wait a second. How many career home runs?
Go give me the 1994 Expos and White Sox rosters. Give me the Expos while we're on the Expos.
Okay, 1994.
Wait till you read some of these names.
All right, ready for it?
They were so good.
All right, your catcher was Darren Fletcher.
Okay.
First baseman, Cliff Floyd.
Yep.
Second baseman, Mike Lansing. Shortstop, Will Cordero. Third baseman, Sean Berry. Left fielder, Moises Alou. Center fielder, Marquise Grissom. Right fielder, Larry Walker.
That's a hell of an outfield right there. Like, I was like, oh, okay, like maybe, I don't, but that's a hell of an outfield.
22 home runs, 11 home runs.
Well,
19 home runs. Marquise Grissom wasn't a home run.
I think they had, like, didn't they have John Wetland, Mel Rojas in the bullpen that year? So they were like, their pen was good. They had Pedro.
Good starters,
Ken Hill, I think, was really good back then.
Yeah, Ken Hill, 16-5, 332.
Give me the 94 White Sox now.
94 White Sox. Remember, this was coming off of the 93 when they lost to the Blue Jays in the playoffs. So everybody was hopeful that this could be the year.
Remember the Michael game. That was when Michael threw out the first pitch and then retired.
Exactly.
In 93.
And that upstaged the White Sox playoffs.
Yes. They were playing the Blue Jays Waddle. Michael throws out the first. You're playing for the Bears. I know you were busy, so you weren't in tune with this.
Michael throws out
the first pitch, and then word starts circulating in a non-social media time. Michael is going to announce his retirement from the Bulls the day before camp starts. And then Rich King and all the reporters start chasing Michael. Michael leaves early, gets out of the ballpark before the reporters do an interview, and the next day at the Berto Center, he abruptly retires.
All right, 94 White Sox. Here you go. Ron Karkovice doing the catching with the occasional lefty, Spanky LaValliere, giving him a rest. Uh-huh. He was a fan favorite.
Oh, Hawk loves Spanky, too.
Well, who didn't? Frank Thomas doing the hitting, of course, at first base.
Prime Frank Thomas, too.
38 home runs, 101 driven in, and hit 353.
Yeah, Frank's hitting 353.
He had an OPS of 1.215. OPS.
What was his on base? Was it 500?
On base was 487.
He won the MVP that year.
He's like getting on base 50% of the time.
He's big Frank.
Joey Cora hitting second and playing second base usually. Ozzie Guillen as your shortstop. Mm-hmm. Robin Ventura obviously hitting behind Frank most days at third. Rock Raines, Tim Raines leading off in left field. Lance Johnson, one dog. Center. DJ is your right fielder. Darren Jackson, who you hear on the call of White Sox games right here. And Julio Franco, DHing. He was awesome that year. Hit 319, 20 homers, 98 ribbies.
Nobody complaining about the baseballs in the humidors back then, were they?
Wait, is that what's going on now? The Sox are complaining.
Isn't that what's
Tony La Russa and Frank Menachino have been quoted.
They did that today.
They're wondering.
They're blaming the lack of home runs on the baseball.
They're wondering what's going on with the humidor at Guaranteed Rate versus some other cities.
It's not all these ground balls that you are hitting through the infield.
Old man Pujols has more home runs than anyone on the White Sox. And they're complaining about the baseballs?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. As I told you, they've become a fun-sucking, unlikable team.
How about
unfortunately.
This? Should I do the list for tomorrow, then?
Yes, go back to the 1900s.
Most disappointing Chicago team. Just listen to this rotation. This is where it was really strong. Blackjack McDowell, Alex Fernandez, Wilson Alvarez, Jason Bure were your top four.
That's
and
great.
Good old Scott Sanderson rounding out the five-man rotation.
The late Scott Sanderson.
Yes.
Glenbrook North. I think another Glenbrook North guy. Boy, they've churned out athletes. Kipnis, Shire, it's been incredible. What?
Wait. You're nice. You're right.
Who's the player they just meant from the Avalanche? That's why I paused, because I'm like, damn it, I already forgot his name. He just won the Stanley Cup.
Adam Foote.
No, stop it. Such an old school guy.
I don't know who was
Mario
local.
Mario Lemieux.
I don't know who was local on the Avalanche. I'm sure you're right. I just don't know who was local from that team that won. It probably wasn't Gabriel Landeskog. Not Nathan MacKinnon.
Keep going. Name some more guys.
Random
ass. It's Compher. Isn't it Compher?
Is he local? You're probably right. Well, I just don't
he's
know.
He's got initials for his first name. Is it Compher?
Hockey Talk today at 4:40.
I just met him. Come on.
Well, he's not even on Glenbrook North's notable alumni page on Wikipedia, so he can't be that good.
Yes, he is. He was on the he was a good player on the Avs. Remember that series? I was telling him I was watching that entire series. It was.
The Avs were my pick to win it all.
Avs in Tampa. Do you remember how good that series
was? It
was
fabulous.
We just arrived for the Stanley Cup final.
Why would you join at any points prior to that? That's when it really starts to get fun. Postseason. Sit there and tell me you're watching regular season hockey.
No, but I said the Stanley Cup final.
Oh, I thought the playoffs were fun.
Yeah, I didn't say the Stanley Cup playoffs. You and I came for just the Stanley Cup final. You were not there early.
Yeah, I was.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, I was. I was there for a couple of Lightning games. Of course I was. Don't you be telling me that.
All right, we got Would You Rather coming up next. We'll award a pizza to somebody from Lou Malnati's.
Here, have a pizza. The delicious sound of Miller Time. I'm going to have a couple tonight. We are celebrating Miller Time all year. You should join in on the fun because it is quite entertaining and delicious. Taking the show on the road throughout the rest of the year, courtesy of our great friends and partners at Miller Lite. Next Friday, huge broadcast as we kick off the Bears season. We will be at Benny's in Lincoln Park. Live broadcast 2-6, one of our favorite places in the entire state. Giving away Bears tickets for that Sunday's game against the 49ers. It's Miller Time at Benny's. Please celebrate responsibly.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Hey, this is Coach Mike Ditka.
Greg Olson here.
This is Stacey Keach.
Hey, this is D. Rose.
What up? This is Ludacris.
Hello, this is Stick Enberg. Would you like to play a little? Would you rather? Oh, my.
Sorry, Would You Rather brought to you by Lou Malnati's Pizza. You'll win a Lou Malnati's Pizza if we like your Would You Rather best. Courtney Cronin coming up here in about 7-8 minutes and the Bears cuts. But we'll go to some of the Would You Rathers. Tweet Tyler Aki and Jeff Meller. Use the hashtag WS Would You Rather. What do we got, boys?
All right. Would you rather have to live with roaches or ghosts?
Roaches. You could get rid of them. Yeah. Ghosts.
They come back.
You don't, I mean.
What if it's a friendly ghost? It's Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's your.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I think so. I'm not 100%. I would lean to yes, that there are spirits and things.
Do you believe that there are angry spirits and happy spirits, or they are all?
No, I think they're probably both. What do you believe?
My mind is open to pretty much anything these days. So I would say, I think that there is something spiritual out there.
My wife and I just came up at dinner. This came up about, you know, like, what's the sign that you're around if you leave? Like, the other people believe on. Like, we were out with a couple, and the wife said that they had something with their father, that if they would see a dime or something dime, make a dime reference, you know I'm watching over you or I'm present. So my wife and I came up with a code word where if one of us leaves before the other, that will be what to look for to know.
What was Abdallah's safe word?
Pterodactyl.
It's not a safe word. It's like a thing that...
So you're saying, like, if for whatever reason you leave this earth before Allie does.
Right. And then she sees on the, on like, the menu board of a restaurant or something.
It says whiskey.
Tequila. I'm not telling you what it is, but there's a word.
Why would you not tell me what it is?
Because.
What's the difference?
I don't want... this is our thing.
Okay. All right. You think it's going to be ruined if you let any?
I just
in on it?
The only two people should know should be us. That way, it can't be screwed around with. You can, because I could picture you. I'm gone.
I'm going to be
you guys. You and the Boyles and my wife are all out at some fancy North Shore restaurant. You guys are writing some stuff on the, you know, on the table. Sylvie's here, playing pranks, dead man pranks.
What is wrong with you? You, wow!
Dead man prank. well, she's lost her husband. This is the perfect time to execute that prank. I've been sitting there
rubs
so
hands
long.
Intensely.
Pat, what do you say? What do you say? We get some laughs out of this one. He's gone.
For old time's sake.
Let's play a prank on the widow.
You don't want to play dead man pranks.
It's what Sylvie would want.
Right. I want to know. I want her to know that I'm watching over her.
Remember that time you put Joniak's phone in the ceiling? Payback's a bitch, Silverman.
Oh, dead man pranks. I think we have a new segment. That's dead man pranks.
I'm changing my fantasy football team name too.
I know the word.
Dead man pranks.
Wow, you are you're something else. We would not do that to your widow. We wouldn't do that to her. I'm going to speak for the group.
Yeah,
I don't
I
know
agree.
How Mary well, and least, Pat mm-hmm. feel or Cara.
After a couple weeks,
I'll lead the charge in saying that we won't torture your widow with dead person pranks.
He's been gone for 4 weeks. She's over it.
It's about time. 28 days.
Hey, look in the mirror. Machine gun.
Can we read more later? We're up again. I want to get to Courtney on time. We got caught in dead man pranks.
You are funny as hell when you're not trying.
Thanks.
I'm just saying.
I think.
You're funny as hell when you're not
when
trying.
When you try.
Dead man pranks.
Yeah. Coming up next, we'll talk to Courtney Cronin. The Bears made some cuts. Anyone surprise you? She'll tell us next.